Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
It's the last book of the Old Testament, so just go to where it says New Testament, go one book back, and you'll be at Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Last week, we talked about worship that pleases God. We talked about a worship that they had worshiped so powerfully that the Bible says their worship, their voices was heard in heaven, in the Holy of Holiness. Now, this morning, we're going to complete opposite. We're going to worship that is not acceptable to God. Worship that was, in fact, we're going to look at a conversation God has with His people, but mainly the priests. So you could say that the message is to me this morning, not to you guys, but the truth is we're all priests in Christ, according to the New Testament. So we're going to go, and God's going to ask them a question. And the question is very easily, do you have respect for me? Now that word I hear often. Usually it's the older generation talking about the younger generation. And we could say it's different today, but I think it's always been that way. The older generation often will say the younger generation has no what? Respect. No respect for teachers, no respect for authority, no respect for different things. In fact, we have a friend who was up last week, and she had graduated to be a teacher, taught 3 years and taught 1 year in the public school, and has quit teaching because of no respect. She's getting beat up by, I think it was, Emily, what grade was she teaching? Were you not paying it? Okay. Come on, Emily. Third grade? Callie.
Oh,
second grade. Thank you. First grade. Okay. All right, we got it. You just missed that whole illustration, Emily. She was still worshiping. She was still in the moment worshiping. So we got to give her a few minutes to come back. But yeah, first grade kids. And she ended up quitting because of the lack of respect. Now, respect means to treat as something is worthy, to treat it well, to honor it, as it talks about in this passage. And we see this all the time. We see people cut the line at the store. And what do you say? They have no respect. Or you see buildings defaced, or you see people leave trash all over the place. And you know, you say that to your kids. You can't say to your, I can't say to some of my kids, do you treat this like you treat your room? But they leave stuff all over their room too. But what is the source? Why do we disrespect? What is the root of disrespect? And what was the root of disrespect here in this passage? And I think partly is when we see ourselves so much and we're so focused on ourselves, we can't see others around us. Lack of respect is also a lack of consideration. It's a lack of understanding the importance of others. And as we come to this passage in Malachi, we're coming to a passage where they were at the temple. Now, this isn't the church here in Malachi. He's not talking about the church. He's talking about they're going to the temple. And when the people went to the temple, what would they bring to the temple? Anybody? Offerings. What kind of offerings? Animals. There was different kind of offerings. And what would the priests do? They'd sacrifice the animals. So this is a very... there's a lot of effort here, okay? So when they're coming to the temple, they're coming to worship, they're coming to Jerusalem, and this was the temple that was rebuilt, and so they're coming, They're making quite an effort to get to the temple, and they're making an effort to do these sacrifices. Okay, and so here they are. They're coming to the temple to bring their sacrifices to God, and as they're doing this, God strikes up a conversation with them, in starting in verse 6. And it's a conversation about their respect, their honor. Are they honoring God? Now, remember, who is he talking to here in this passage? Anybody? He's talking to the children of Israel. He's talking to, if you will, his people. He's not talking to the Gentiles. He's not talking to those people out there. So I want us to focus this morning that this is a message to, an application to us as a church. And oftentimes, as Christians, we can be very quick to criticize those outside. But God's concerned about our inside, our heart. And so he's looking into us, and as we're talking about worship, we're coming here, and I asked you last week, what do you expect? What are you expecting when you come to church? Are you coming to participate? Are you coming to sing? Are you coming to give? Are you coming to give? Are you praying? Are you preparing for worship? And so as we come to this passage, here they are, God speaking to his people, and he asks the first question. He says, where's my respect? Where's my respect? Verse 6, a son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I am the father, where's my honor? And if I am the master, where's my reverence, says the Lord of hosts to the priests who despise my name. So God saying, well, it's natural for a son to honor his father, and it's natural for workers to honor their boss, and that's something that happens. But if I'm God, and we sang about it this morning, right? Holy, holy is the Lord. We sang about who God is, his power, his majesty, his holiness. He says, if I'm God, if I'm the master, the ultimate master, we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, that means master, that means we're to submit to him. If he is the Lord, he's saying, where's my honor? Where's my respect? Why are you guys disrespecting me? Of course, their answer, it's like you're having a conversation with your children. Not me. What are you talking about me? Not me. What did they say? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Like, what are you talking about? Like, they came with this charge, and they're saying, not us. It's like when my wife asks me to clean something. And most women, they have a different definition for clean. Is that true in your house? So I'm thinking it's clean. Did you clean it? Yeah, I cleaned it. Really? You cleaned it? What about that over there? Oh, I didn't see that. Just trying to get it done as quick as I could. And to me, if I can walk through it, it's clean enough. That's not kind of what God is saying. It's, they're saying, "Why? This is fine. How we despise your name? What are you talking about? We're here at the temple, and we're offering the sacrifices, and we're doing exactly what you told us to do." And God says, "No, you. It's you. The charge is against you." So, three reasons why their worship was rejected by God in this passage. And number one, they were careless. They were careless. Notice what it says, verse 7. "You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, 'In what way have we defiled you?' By saying that the table of the Lord is contemptible." In other words, what they were saying is that they were business-minded. So if they're bringing something that's spoiled, if they're bringing this sacrifice, they're saying, "Well, we're going to burn this sacrifice anyways. Why should we burn something that's expensive? Let's just keep that back for ourselves." And so what they were doing is they weren't offering to God their best. They weren't giving God the full of what they could do. Have you ever said to your kids, "You've not reached your full potential"? My parents used to say that all the time as I brought C's and B's home from school. And the truth is, I probably could have done a lot better. And I think what God's saying to us this morning, and I talked about it last week, if we're coming to church, if we only have 52 times a year when we come to worship, let's not be careless. Let's not be half-hearted. Let's not just give the leftovers to God. Let's not treat God different than we treat our boss. And I've said oftentimes, if we say we're ill or tired and we can't come to church, fine. But Monday morning, will you apply that to work? In other words, you may feel ill and tired, but you're going to get to work. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you'll call out. That's fine. All I'm saying is the respect you give your job, you should give the equal or more respect to God. It's like this week, we're doing our meal, getting ready for our meal Wednesday night. And had a great meal last week, another meal this week, Wednesday, So I had Joe take everything out of the kitchen. I said, "We're going to get this in order because I'm out there and I want to make sure everything's right." But I probably threw away half of the pans that were in there. And my wife had said to me, "Yeah, somebody had donated those." And some of those pans, they needed to be thrown. I couldn't even save them for a yard sale. But you know what happens? We have something, like we buy something new, and we have something old, and we think, "Let's bring it to the church. The church could use it." Is God honored by that? If the church is going to cook meals and have a kitchen, don't you think the church should have new pans just like you? We're just going to give to the church the old pans, and we're going to keep the new pans for us? Think about it. Just think about that for a few minutes. That are we careless in our worship that we're going to give God less than we give our work, our family, ourselves? I would think we would give God better. I would think that the church, we're going to get industrial pans, we're going to get bigger pans, we're going to get more expensive pans that are going to last if we're going to give to the church. That's what the Bible, this is what he's talking about here, about honoring God. They were careless. I can remember one time Marcella from our church in Romania. She was very observant. And she said to my wife one time, she said, "You know what I appreciate about you guys? You built the church first than your house." And that was her observation. I didn't even think about it. But how much honor does God deserve? And then number two, they were corrupt. Notice what it says. "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts." In other words, again, they're coming to the temple. They're bringing their offering. And think of these animals as money. Okay, these are commodities. And have cryptocurrency back then. They didn't have credit cards. They had what? Animals. That was their wealth. Their flocks. Okay? So if you have a sick animal, are you going to be able to sell it at the auction? No. But you're thinking in your mind, well, this is, and by the way, what does the Old Testament say about a sacrifice? How does it have to be? Perfect. Right? Jesus was without sin. Remember, all these sacrifices don't take away sin. They point to Jesus. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And so here they're coming to the altar and they're thinking, well, I could get, I don't know how much, $500, $1,000 for this perfect animal. This sick animal, I'm not going to get anything. But I'm coming to the altar and it's going to be burnt anyways. So I'll just give the sick animal to God. And I'll take the good animal for me and make a profit. You've heard the saying. It's been true forever. Follow the money. And so God says, okay, you want to do that? Take that sick animal to your governor for your taxes. See what he says. You think he's going to be pleased? I had to register a car this week, and I was late paying my taxes, so I had $8 charge, and I couldn't get it registered, so I had to go down to the town hall, and they got a new place, Express, so you go in there, so you can register your car with my $8. But I don't think they would have taken Monopoly money. I don't think they would have thought that was a joke. Wonder if for Christmas, and you probably mostly got your kids' Christmas presents, but I don't think any of you were driving down the side of the road and saw trash day and saw some toy in the trash can ready to be thrown out, half broken, and said, you know what, that's good enough for my son. And took it from the trash can, wrapped it up, Christmas Day, little son comes out, he's like, Daddy, what's this? You think he'd be happy with that? So what are you saying here? God's just saying, yeah, this is, what kind of worship is this? You're just, yeah, no. This doesn't work. And then their worship was condescending. In the sense that, do you like it when people are condescending to you? Nobody likes that. They think they're better. They think they're superior. They may ignore you. They may look down on you. They may give you that look. Now verse 9 says, But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. Now here's what he's saying. You're up there worshiping. You got your hands up and you're singing the songs. And you're saying, God bless my life. God be good to me. While this is being done by your hands. It's like if you have a friend, right? You have a good friend. He's over all the time. Good friend. You watch the game together. You have fun together. And you notice, like, there's been things missing around the house. And you don't want to think bad. And you're like, what's going on? So you check the cameras. And you look on the camera. And here's your buddy putting in his bag and taking home your brand new Ryobi tool. Or DeWalt or whatever. Milwaukee. And you see him. It's on camera. And you're like, what? Then the next day he comes over to watch the game. And he brings you pizza. Because he sold that tool at the whatever on Facebook now. And he acts like nothing happened. Comes, gives you a hug, hi-fi. No way the Patriots are winning today, but we're going to watch it anyway. Last game of the year. And you're thinking, we got to have a tough conversation right now. Maybe at halftime when it's already a blowout, we'll turn the game off and have this conversation. That's what God's saying. You're in here, the temple, and you're asking God to have mercy. At the same time, your hands are doing something else. That's the worship God's not looking for. That's the worship that's shady, if you will. Maybe halftime you'll say, all right, I got another show I want to watch, and you'll show them the video. Verse 10, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle a fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. nor will I accept an offering with your hands. But see, sometimes we say, why aren't things going well? Why don't we feel the Spirit of God? And because God is holy. God is righteous. You can't fool God. He doesn't need a surveillance camera. He sees inside your heart. He knows everything that's in the heart. Verse 13 says, you also say, oh, what a weariness. And you snare at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? Should I accept this? Is this acceptable? Is this something that's right? Is this something I should be happy about? Don't think God's impressed just with your presence. He wants your heart. And if we're going to have a worship that's going to glorify him and honor him, we're going to have to come to God with all our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and we're going to have to give him everything. Verse 11 says this, for from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nation, says the Lord of hosts. If there is a name that we're to honor, it is the name of God. If there is somebody that deserves our reverence, our respect, our worship, is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was that sacrifice. He went to the cross for us. He went to the altar, and it wasn't a half sacrifice. It wasn't a blemished sacrifice. It was the perfect Lamb of God, and his blood was shed for us. And his name today, as we come here to worship, and as we're worshiping God today, they have been worshiping the name of Jesus all throughout the world. They've been worshiping him in England. They've been worshiping him in Iran. They've been worshiping him in Japan. They've been worshiping him everywhere around the world. Name the country, name the place. Believers like us have gathered together, and we've come to glorify the name of Jesus. And it says in Philippians, when Jesus comes again, he says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord. And verse 14 says this, but cursed be the deceiver who has in his flocks a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord that which is blemished. For I'm a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. That would be like coming here this morning and not reading the Bible and staying up to 4 playing video games and come before you and praying, God, give me a message. I don't think that'd be a pleasing sacrifice to God. His name is to be glorified. And I think the key word, I thought about this morning, why is it that oftentimes the persecuted church is more passionate in their worship of Jesus? I think the word is they have to sacrifice. Nobody had to sneak out to get to church this morning. We didn't have to have a secret knock. At least now we get the door fixed, we don't have a secret knock anymore. Praise God. Some of you were surprised when you opened the door, actually opened. We got half the two doors, we're going to get the other two doors Monday, but praise the Lord for John coming to help from the Romanian church. Sacrifice. What does it cost us? If it's easy, we're not giving the effort. As we come to worship, I think that word sacrifice, are we sacrificing anything to worship Jesus this morning? Does he deserve our respect and honor? How much can we give to him, to honor him, to glorify him, and to show him that his name will be glorified throughout the nations? Let's stand together and pray this morning.